to do my personal interview with Miss Mavis G. Harris. She's a resident of Clay County. And I'm going to ask her a series of questions to go along with the class requirement. Miss Harris, starting from beginning of your birth, give me a little personal chronology, if you would, of where you were born, for instance. Where were you born?
I was born in Clay County, not far from Ashland, Alabama, Tennessee. It's the home of my parents, Curtis and Little Griffin, in 1925.
What, were you the only child, or?
I had two sisters and a brother younger than I, and I had four older half-sisters and four older half-brothers. So I came from a large family.
Definitely. Most folks back then did, didn't they? A lot of families. Uh-huh. What do you think was the reason that your folks had so many children, your parents?
Well, my father's first wife died of flu in World War II epidemic. And then when he and my mother married, they had four, and I was the oldest one of that four.
So these were your stepbrothers and sisters then?
Half-brothers.
Uh-huh, yes. Okay. So they were born a good bit after.
They were older than I.
Oh, older than you. Okay.
And I was younger than they, so I had the benefit of all their petings. And
yeah. So she.
They loved me very much. You said that. Them.
Who died in World War One?
My father's first wife.
Okay, it was World War One.
One. Yeah.
You said World
too.
War Two. Yeah. I was
yeah,
thinking
I was
that's
young,
a good.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, because you were.
The flu epidemic was the cause of her life. You remember so many people having died.
Of the flu, that's
of
right.
The flu,
that was
so
a big.
Took her life.
Yeah, that was
and
a big.
Then later, my mother and dad were married. And I was their first child.
Okay. So, what year did you start school?
Well, I would say maybe 31. I started age six. My birthday is in April.
At Barfield School.
And by the time I was 6 years old, my dad had moved to Barfield above Lyman, about 4 miles. Maybe you have noticed the building. The present-day building is a very beautiful rock structure.
Sure is.
But it was a wood white frame building when I attended, and it was located across the road where the church now is.
Across the road from the church?
Uh-huh.
Church is no longer there.
That church was a white frame structure. It is not there. It, too, has been replaced by a beautiful rock structure building. They're very unique. Whenever you go the highway, you want to take a good close look, because I can recall sitting in class in the earlier grades and looking across the highway as the foundation for the rock building was laid and the building was built.
Okay.
When I was in the sixth grade, I recall the principal having us to line up and marching from the old building across the highway to the new building.
The new building. That would create a lot of excitement, you school children
well,
at that
I
time.
Well, I still recall
it?
That.
Yeah, you remember it. It
I
must have made an impression
that.
When you looked over there and you saw that
yes.
New building being built.
Well, it's such a beautiful building even until this day.
Yeah. What is the name of that road, this road
it's
here?
It's Highway 9.
Highway 9
uh-huh.
that particular school
yes.
sits on,
right.
right there on the road.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, you went to Barfield School up until what point?
Through grade 9.
Through grade 9?
Uh-huh.
And then that was as long as you could go to that school. Then.
Barfield was a feeder school.
Feeder school.
So starting in the 10th grade, I went to Lineville High School through the 12th, and I was graduated from Lineville in 1943.
Lineville High School.
Yeah.
How many students were, when you graduated, how many students were in your graduating class?
Well, I recall in the 10th grade, there was around 110. But by the time we were graduating, most of the boys had gone into service. Now, this is World War II.
Exactly, yeah.
So there were 30-something who graduated. Some had dropped out. A lot had gone into service. And I recall that several were even killed in service before I was graduating.
In that 2 years time span?
And 3 years I was there.
Okay, yeah.
And then after I started teaching years later, I recall getting off from school as a teacher at Barfield and attending memorial services for one of my classmates who had been killed in action.
Okay.
And his body had been brought back to a local church close by.
So, and then did you get married before you graduated from school or afterwards?
No, I had graduated from Mountain High School.
And what year was that?
In 1943.
43. Uh-huh. And so between 43 and 47, what did you do before you went off to college?
Well, I kept house mainly.
Did you?
I worked at Brecon 1 year.
What is Brecon?
Brecon Loading Company. That was the ammunition plant at Tyler Digger. I'm shocked that you haven't heard of that.
I've never heard of Brecon.
That's where all of the powder and the charges and things were made. And gee, you need to study that.
Yeah, I do. I never heard of Brecon. That was for the war, though, between 40...
World War II. I worked there as an inspector. I inspected charges that were to be used in the big machine guns.
Yeah. So, were you living at home with your father then?
Well, I stayed with a brother at that time in Tallahassee. Yeah.
Right.
Because at that time, you couldn't even buy cars. It was the war years.
Yeah.
And transportation was very hard to come by.
That's because people were, the government was spending their money on the war.
Cars were no longer being made.
Yeah, exactly. It was funding all the money for places like
Brecon. And I had an older half brother living there, so I stayed with him at that time.
Is that right?
But Brecon was one of the very largest places for the manufacture of powder and gun charges and I don't know what all.
In the state or?
Yes, anywhere.
Anywhere. In the nation then.
Well, one of the largest. I haven't studied up on that.
Yeah.
Brecon Loading Company.
So then you you met a fella and married him?
Yes, he was from just above here at Barfield.
His name was?
J.D. Harris, initial owner.
J.D. Harris.
Uh-huh.
And you married him in what year?
44.
So, we
have one daughter, Carol Harris Walker.
And she was born in?
45. Mm-hmm.
So that was about the time World War II ended then.
Yeah.
Was she born before the treaty was signed or before the war actually ended and our soldiers came home or you remember about?
Well, the details there I'm not sure of, but it was during that time.
Yeah, we'll say 45. Mm-hmm. So you had assumed the role of, well, you were a homemaker got married, so you were a homemaker and a mother.
Yeah.
And a wife.
Yeah.
And you didn't have to work then at that point. Your husband was, what did he do?
He worked at Brecon too. He was a foreman there on production. I was on inspection.
Yeah, so y'all met at work then actually.
Well, no, his home was above here, but that's where we both happened to be working.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I see. So, what now?
I did work at a cotton mill there in Talladega 4 months. This was prior to my having attended college.
Yeah, in 47.
But somehow my health didn't hold up to that, and it wasn't what I'd wanted to do. But my husband had gotten his back hurt and thought he would never work again. So we weren't. I did have to work, really. I guess there's never been a time that you could say I didn't have to work. But anyway, whenever he started back to work, that's when he began warning me to go to college. So that was the beginning of my entering college in 47. I felt that I shouldn't go because I had a child. My place was at home. He saw it differently. He just knew I'd always wanted to go. My mother and dad had gotten sick about the time I got grown, and they weren't able to send me then. But
they
my
husband
unable to pay the tuition and all that. Not many could go at that time.
So it was the financial obligation that was the burden then for you being able to go to college probably immediately after high school.
And my mother was bedridden. The doctors had said she could not live. She was a very severe victim of rheumatoid arthritis.
Mm-hmm.
And I had my baby brother at home sick with a heart problem. And my dad had a severe hernia and you didn't do much for them then. So it was a time when I just have to say that God was leading, or I wouldn't even have finished high school, but my dad was a staunch believer in school and church, so you didn't hesitate to talk of staying at home away from either.
So between 45, Carol's birth, and 47, you're beginning to attend college.
December 47.
Did you have to go up to Jacksonville State, and did they have a recruitment process, or why did you go to Jacksonville State over,
well,
say Auburn? Or?
It was closer by, and we lived in Anniston at that time. My husband was working at Roosevelt Foundry.
So you
and I had gotten a catalog from there before I finished high school, so that was just the only place I ever considered, I guess.
So you knew really. At what point did you really know you wanted to be a school teacher? Was that the first year, or did you thought about that all your life, or you were just influenced probably by your teachers? Or?
Well, I would agree that a child never sits under a teacher a year without having come out with some kind of influence. I had a number of teachers that I thought was very influential, and I would like to be a teacher. And I think that in the third grade, I may have decided that that was what I wanted to do, but I guess I would have to say that just as many men are called to preach, I really think that God intended for me to teach.
That was a college.
Because he just laid the plan there, and I had to say yes or no, and with my husband and former principal and former superintendent all behind me, it's hard to say no. I just had to nearly give it a try, but I felt so antique at that age to go to college, even though I was in my earlier 20s. I felt older than that. I felt that I should be at home.
Who kept your daughter, Carol, when you were...
Well, my husband had a sister that stayed with us a couple of years, and then J.D.'s father became ill, and we had to let her stay with them then, because the sister was needed at home. Mm-hmm. And then, after I started teaching and would return in the summer, we usually hired someone to stay here with her.
Okay.
In the summer. We looked after that way.
So you started Jacksonville State in December of 47.
Yeah.
And did you go straight through and graduate? What year did you graduate?
51, I believe.
Was it 51?
I may have said 50 while ago. Anyway, once I had all 3 years of college work, I started teaching. And at that time, most teachers had maybe 3 months or a year of college training, so you see, I was far above in training what the majority of the teachers here had. Mm-hmm. And I did return in the summers, and I said, yes, 51 I graduated, so I got my B.S. degree and taught school 2 school terms in that length of time. So you see, I had to work, had to make the average standard dean's list if you took extra subjects. So I made it.
So you had
by taking extra work in that length of time.
And you majored in English.
Yes.
In elementary education.
No, in English. And minor in history and secondary education.
Secondary education.
Uh-huh.
So you were...
In the B.S.
In the B.S. program, Bachelor of Science in Education. So you were you pretty much had a career then before you graduated from college. As far as your teaching, you had already received a job at Barfield School?
Well, my parents lived here. And it's where I had lived a lifetime, say some 5 years. So I was well known, and fortunately, I was able to get a job right off and stayed there for 37 years when I retired.
At Barfield School. So,
oftentimes, though, the principal tried to have me to go to Lineville or Ashland or Millville to teach senior English, but I didn't care to go. The pay was the same, and I liked where I was. I felt like I was able to do the best work possible there. Had good principals and good cooperation from parents, and you don't ask for better than that when you're teaching school. Of course, there are a lot of downs along with the ups too, but as a whole, I felt like I could do the work